I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
No income tax, no VAT, no money back, no guarantee. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Man City march on in Europe and Zlatan's back. It's Wednesday, 17th of March. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Russell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
We've got some half-price cracked ice and miles of carpet tiles, Pete Donaldson. How the dickens are you?
All the worse for hearing about one of my least favourite sitcoms.
Oh, yeah, that's a...
I used to live with a friend who became less of a friend when it was revealed that he owned a ridiculous amount of Only Fools and Horses VHSs, which he would watch constantly.
Oh, man.
I've bought him a Football Ramble silk kimono for Christmas. And I think I'm going to have to take it back.
Mate, I am into it. Nice lime green monstrosity.
He who dares, Andy. He who dares. Manchester City are daring, aren't they?
They are.
They've marched on. Happy days, easy peasy, another straightforward victory at this stage
and
of the competition, Andy.
I think that's it. If Man City had Del Boy and Rodney at this point, Gladbach would definitely trigger. Because, you know, they come into this game having lost six straight. Mm. And I think with that in mind, Manchester City had totally the right approach to go at them from the off. Two goals of really extraordinary quality.
Oh, what about
well.
That De Bruyne hit, Peter?
Ping.
I mean, I think the finish for the other goal as well. I mean, obviously the no look pass was a big deal, but yeah. I think the pass for the second, wow, just
why are you brushing over the first so easily?
It was a good, all right. It was a good goal.
In but, off the bar.
Yes, it was. Yes, and goals are exponentially better when they come in off the bar.
As they were saying the other day. Absolutely.
I just see
chicken's
a lot of those
better
goals
in your
lately.
Pocket. Goals are better in off the bar. Okay. Two things that some people can agree on.
No, it was a lovely hit.
It was a lovely hit. And Manchester. Did you see? Obviously, that Sergio Aguero came on for the last 15 minutes.
He was upset when he came off because no one passed to him. He said,
"They don't pass me the ball." Oh no! Is he being phased out? Andy?
I forgot how to play with a proper striker.
Yeah.
It's
like, what's he do? We don't, Sergio. We don't need you. What do we do with this guy, Andy? What do you reckon? Man City, are they? I mean, are they fully strikerless? Well, they're still a bit of a hybrid system.
They have been for a very long time, haven't they? So, I think it'll take a bit of readjustment on both parts, but. To have Sergio Aguero back for the last 3 months of a season when everyone is knackered.
Yeah.
I mean, that is pretty good, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And make the decision to bench Raheem Sterling and bring him on like 20 minutes from the end. If I was a defender, I'd be like, oh, get lost. I'd just take my top off. I'm off. See you later.
It is like the much discussed bug in FIFA 99 where you could sign players during like bits where you pause the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it was my friend's favourite thing to do when we used to play at university.
Where they'd come in.
I'd go for a pee, mm-hmm. come back, and he'd bring Batistuta and Ronaldo off the bench, having purchased them while I was out the room.
That's a big bug. Sorry, playtesters of 1998. Terrible.
It's an excellent bug.
Yeah.
It's a very enjoyable bug. Yeah. Borussia Mönchengladbach. They've not had much luck against Manchester City. 5 of their 10 Champions League defeats have come at the hands of Manchester City. I mean, it's sort of they are to Man City are to them what Stephen Hendry was to Jimmy White.
you have to put it in perspective. I mean, that they'd reached this stage of the Champions League for the first time since 1977.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's pretty good, and I think they're always relatively sanguine about it. But it's so difficult to judge Manchester City from this, not just because Gladbach are terribly out of nick, and Gladbach, I think, in a different context when they're a bit more confident, would have had the tools to threaten Manchester City. And I thought they played much better than they played in the first game, when you know they were scared to get out of their own penalty box most of the time. I mean, some would say perhaps they didn't have the choice to get out of their own penalty box. But look, I mean, it's with City, we're never going to know anything about them in the Champions League until we get to like semi-finals, really, aren't we?
Yeah,
that is the problem.
How is Pep going to bugger this up? Because they're into the quarterfinals, and after the game, he said words to the effect of, "Well, we're just going to forget about the we're going to forget about the quarterfinal. But there'll be no chat about the quarterfinal. Are we even in the quarterfinal? What's going?" And it's kind of like he's already overthinking it, Pete, isn't he?
Hey, well, he was saying that he's very relaxed.
Play a 2-1-7 for this game.
Well, I think it helps that you don't have like a focus. You don't have a pointy end of the stick to try and blunt when the goals can come from everywhere. I think it's really, really useful. But Pep also said, before the game, he said, "I feel good. I feel love from the fans. I have everything. This country is special. I love this game a lot."
Yeah.
All right, Hacienda 94.
Yeah.
get a bottle of water. Sit down.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Yeah. I mean, Andy. Yeah. It is interesting what he's doing with his formation. Obviously, that sort of part necessity because obviously Aguero's not there. Obviously, Jesus has played as well. Where else do you think that he's been influenced by Craig Levein?
it's funny though. I think he's someone who does learn lessons. And
does he though?
I think he does, because
in the latter stages of the Champions League, this season will tell if he has learned that lesson.
Yeah, I mean, the thing
they've never been better equipped, have they?
Yeah, exactly. And on paper, of course, you can say he hasn't won the Champions League since 2011. But the devil, as always, is in the detail. He's been closer than you think on other occasions. And people say, oh, well, you know, Bayern never won it. And how can you not win it with Bayern? It's bloody difficult. And it is a cup competition.
But it's the collapse, though, Andy. It's the nature of those defeats in the quarters and the semis.
With Manchester City, yes.
And look at the way Real Madrid turned up. And was it sort of 3-0 or 3, the way they beat them at home that time?
Yeah, I agree. That was the first game.
And but away at Barcelona that time. And I know it was at Barcelona.
That was the Real Madrid one is the biggest regret of his coaching career. Mm-hmm. Because he said before that, when they were playing a league game, it's a famous phrase in German football: for us, the league is over. And he's always regretted saying that. Because he said, once he said that, just that little bit of intensity dropped. Mm-hmm. And you can never accuse him of that now. He's almost gone too far in the other direction.
Yes.
in the way to remedy that. It was quite funny when Gary Lineker was like trying off his Spanish on him, you know, when they had that link
Lineker
up
speaks
from
good
the
Spanish.
The shooter. Yeah, he does, but he obviously was very, very keen to get
flex.
It out. And you could definitely tell that Guardiola was like, trying to make me comfortable. Don't try and make me feel comfortable. Yeah. I don't want to be comfortable.
I'm a prickly man. I like being prickly. Exactly.
Japanese.
On warm nights, I wrap myself in two duvets. I like to be uncomfortable. I mean, but also that time, when, as I say, I don't want to labour the point too much, but when he played the back three against Barcelona, went man-to-man for their front three. I mean, you could tell. It was, you know, he quickly had to change it up. He has,
yeah, but
he
that
has
isn't,
a history.
That isn't why they lost that game.
That's one of the reasons, Andy.
No, because they got past that. They changed the formation. They were still at 0-0, and Messi took them apart in the last 15 minutes of the game.
Yeah, but had he maybe focused his attention...
That could happen to anyone, because, like, the fact is, I mean, it's a famous meme, isn't it, of, like, Boateng apparently being made look ridiculous by Messi. So you get riddance by the best player in the world. Like, whatever.
Oh, yeah, no, I understand that. But the fact is, they set up like that, they'd have obviously worked on it, and then you change it. It's not ideal preparation.
Spelsy, do you think that Manchester City could go a little bit further up the gears than what we saw last night?
I very much do. And I think Pep Guardiola is trying to channel his sort of a bit more of his time when he won the competition at Barcelona. And he said, last night, he said his Barcelona side needed 3 guns and 100 bullets to lose the ball, which I don't quite understand. It is quite terrifying.
Yeah.
So don't deploy those tactics, for crying out loud. But as you say, Pete, you know, the quadruple and the trophies are in sight. I mean, the league title in the Premier League for them is already over. Any of them are listening to this. But Gundogan was talking up his selflessness in an interview yesterday, and he said a good season, especially the last sort of handful of months. He said, if I had to sign a document now that says I'm not going to score any more this season, but my team will win all the trophies, I'm going to sign that document now.
Yeah, and Man City would sign that document as well.
Yes, exactly.
They'd be co-signees.
Presumably now they've drafted that document. I mean, it is an interesting one, because, of course, if he didn't sign that document, Andy, he would be seen as a very selfish player. But you get the feeling of what the man is trying to say.
Yeah, let's not sign any documents with the aim of winning the Champions League. I think that's sending out totally the wrong message.
Yeah, well, interestingly, Guardiola has now taken over Jose Mourinho for Champions League wins. Mourinho has 81, Guardiola has 82. I feel, looking at the current climate, in the current situation, Mourinho may not overhaul him at any point soon.
Are you saying this is a decisive lead in an irrelevant statistical category?
I'm saying it's a decisive lead. Peter, can Mourinho peg him back?
Not for the next couple of seasons. You'd probably pause it.
Or ever.
Or ever.
Who knows? Yeah, so interesting. I mean, it was a good performance. I mean, what do you think, Andy, then? All sort of historical references aside, are you looking at Man City thinking they are the team to beat in the Champions
League? No, I don't think you can say that with a history in the Champions League.
Oh, so when I said all history aside, you're saying you can't do that, Speller. You've got to bring in the history.
Yeah, a little bit.
Future history.
Certainly the recent history, the history of the coach, the history of that set of players.
Yeah.
They've come nowhere near winning it. Mm. And to constantly use their Premier League form, which has been amazing, of course, as a justification of why they're going to win the Champions League, it just doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
Prove it to me, and then I'll believe it.
Oh, until you've got that cup in your hands.
Yes.
Your head.
I tell you what, Andy, that is, you know, managers often sort of put a newspaper cutting or something in the dressing room to get players going. He might write on the wall next time into their quarterfinal game, prove it to me, Andy Brassel. Hang that up on the wall, and I tell you what, if that doesn't motivate them, Peter, I don't know what will.
Put it in 5 different languages. Love the old
job. At least 5 different languages. Andy will translate it for him. Andy, get it sent over. If you want to win the cup, get this on the wall. Very impressive indeed. Real Madrid, they know how to win the Champions League, and they beat Atalanta 3-1 in their little stadium. I always find that quite nice when I see them walking out in their, is it the B-side or Castilla?
Yeah.
Is that where they play?
Yeah, it's like the training ground here.
Yeah. Yes. A lovely old job that was.
The state aid gobblers. This is our B grade stadium. Thank you. We're a charity, are you?
Yeah, come on. It was a consolation in the end for Atalanta, but what about that goal they scored from the free kick? It was an absolute peach, wasn't it? Interesting routine.
Didn't need it. The way you're going to hit the ball, you don't need to distract the keeper.
In a way, actually. And I don't want to sound entitled here or whatever, but because of the way those players, you haven't seen this, everybody, there was what, 2 or 3 players in front of the taker, and you thought, oh, I've never seen this before, and they all sort of charged forward. And then was it Muriel who stuffed it in the top corner?
Yes.
I was almost a touch disappointed.
Why?
Why?
Because it was just, it ended up being a fairly, a very, very good sort of, but a conventional free kick that the taker just runs up and whacks it in the top corner, which will always be enjoyable because of the kind of the running and what was going on beforehand. I thought, oh, we're going to see something that we haven't seen before.
Well, I guess it was just, you know, it's all about marginal gains, isn't it? Mm. Wimbledon did this one for a bit. I think it was Carlton Fairweather and Dennis Wise. They used to have, like, if they had a free kick out wide, one of them would pick up the ball, the other one would throw it to the other player. He would throw it back to him, then he'd put it down and loop he'd lance the ball in. And it just in terms of breaking concentration, I think it can work, well, something like that. I mean, Atalanta have tried that a couple of times before in Serie A, but I think maybe it did work because Courtois got a hand on that, and you know it was a savable free kick by a good goalkeeper that he didn't save.
Yeah, I quite liked Ian Dark on commentary where, you know, nowadays we have this situation where a player will lie behind the wall,
yes,
so they can't go under the wall. And what did he refer to it as? The you know, you got a gap in a door, the draft excluder.
Yeah, Steve Wilson said that a couple of weeks back. I would have said sleeping policeman myself.
That's not bad.
Speed bump.
That's not bad. Talking of the old free kick routines, remember the one, was it Gordon Strachan? Did Strachan play for Aberdeen? I should really know that, shouldn't I? I forget who it was for Aberdeen years and years ago, but they used to have one called, which they would call the fuck up. And so they would run up to it. Scotland did this in World Cup 98, I think, where they would sort of run up, and it was as if they were both going to hit the ball, and then they would sort of shout at each other.
Right, okay.
Of course, it was all a trick.
Right, okay.
Going back to your original point, do you not think if you've got that funky thing with the wall and then something extra, it's just a little bit too much? It's adding too many ingredients into it, and the execution is likely to go wrong.
And it doesn't matter to me. Marcus isn't listening. He's Googling whether Gordon Strachan played for Aberdeen. We know what you're doing over that side of the desk, Sunshine.
I just want to make sure.
Sorry, Andy, go on. I'll continue to host the show.
Always revising for Luke's game. and the algorithm has picked out.
183 league appearances.
Oh, there you go. Only 183. Yeah, I'd say he did play for them then.
I could have told you that.
Well, I wish you'd step up next time and not be such a coward, Andy.
Do you think we should weird out? Do you think these should have more weird free kicks? I'd like them to sort of just do some weird stuff.
What are you thinking of?
Scotland had a few, actually. There was one when they were away in Belarus, I think.
Right.
Oh, I forget, actually, where. Do you remember when they took to the field and there was no...
Given that you lived up there for more than 5 years, I suspect you were playing. So focus, Marcus.
Unlike Che Adams, I always focused on England. but they did a lovely free kick routine, which ended up with a John Collins goal, where he passed it to one side. Someone put their foot on the ball as if the guy running in was going to strike it. But then, because the ball has already been played, Collins then took it, beat the defender who'd sort of come out, who was thinking that the man running in a conventional sense towards the free kick was going to take it.
Right.
Knocked it out of his feet and smashed it into the corner. It was a great goal. I've never seen that free kick routine. But talking to Real Madrid,
bring it back.
Redondo had one as well, where he passed it. Do you remember he had his back to goal?
Yeah.
Passed it towards where you think the kicker was going to take it. The kicker ends up putting his foot on the ball. Redondo spins around and hits it wide. So, there you are, you see. We haven't even talked about this game. No. A lovely little memory lane for me, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for indulging me. But yes, Real Madrid, they went through. Oh, Atalanta were very unhappy, though. They were fuming that the referee blew up for half-time. Apparently, it was clocked in on 44 minutes, 59 seconds. And it was as Muriel went through on goal.
Yeah.
And it was one. It was only, 2-0 on aggregate at the time?
Yeah, that's right. It would have made a huge difference.
There we are. Sergio Ramos obviously scored a penalty, his 20th in a row. Real Madrid, it's a fantastic record. He's nearly he's probably got more penalties. He might have more penalties in a row soon than he's got red cards.
Oh, that would be nice. He'll want to break that particular record. Yeah, I think that's nice. I mean, yeah, something lovely.
It is good that he's entered this space now as like such a prolific goal scorer, as the Spanish Stuart Pearce, isn't it?
Yeah, did
Stuart Pearce have a documentary? I don't think so.
I thought, yeah.
He would have done if Amazon Prime was about in those days, I'm sure.
La leyenda de Sergio Ramos. Sergio Ramos, the legend.
I thought it was El Corazon, the heart.
Oh, maybe it is.
Or maybe the second series is the legend.
I was about to say, yeah.
I see, yeah.
And the third series is going to be the chi of Sergio Ramos.
I remember, like, on the first season, I only saw the trailer, because who's watching that? but I just remember he had his kids and his wife, and they all had sort of Kiss face paint on.
Oh, right.
They were all dressed as different members of Kiss.
Oh, cool.
And,
was that influenced by Kiss or Robbie Williams in the video of Let Me Entertain You?
You worry me, Marcus. I don't know what you do with your life.
Do you not remember when that? We're not it was very, very famous.
Was it?
Yeah.
Compared to Ace Frehley from Bloody Kiss?
Why not? But I'm saying he was. That's where he got it from, and I'm saying where's Ramos got it from? We don't know.
Okay, probably Kiss.
Is Marcus not just doubting Sergio Ramos's knowledge of rock history?
Yeah, I mean, mainland Europe, mate. Like this is that they love their classic rock.
You're just still angry that Robbie Williams opened the Roger World Cup.
I am. Who did I say should have been Childish Gambino? And Luke took the piss out of me. Yeah, well, you know, should have been. Shouldn't I mean, just because he does little parties for oligarchs, I don't think he should be allowed to present the World Cup.
Should have been Bell and Sebastian.
It's the fucking World Cup. Still angry about it. But it's funny because...
I would love Bell and Sebastian.
I would as well, but they're not fitting for an international...
It's more singable.
All right, I'm on board.
Yeah, good. But so there were two Sergio Ramoses in Kiss makeup in the Sergio Ramos documentary because his son's also called Sergio Ramos Jr.
Oh, I see. Oh, well, it's definitely then Kiss.
One of
then,
three of his children.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
He looked at one of the children and went, yeah, you deserve this. Uh-huh. That's you, Sergio Ramos. The other two, losers.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. There we are. Well, Sergio Ramos, yeah, we salute you, good sir. Did you see that David Beckham wants to bring Marcelo into Miami this summer?
We better get a move on while he can still actually break into a jog.
How about that?
Yeah.
So you should have, I'm just thinking about the back four. You've got Marcelo, Ryan Shawcross. Yeah, I think it's looking pretty good.
I mean, what is Marcelo's blurb when he arrives? He goes, well, the opportunity to...
Work with Fizzer?
Yeah. Improve my fullback game under expert tuition.
But like, is he just assembling, is Bex and Fizzer just assembling like a kind of FIFA kind
whoever
of
you
pack
got.
Opening? Yeah, like a Legends kind of
exactly.
NFT Bitcoin kind of
Peter,
thing.
Think about it. If you and I created a football team, we would crack open the contacts book. Yours is more impressive than mine, obviously.
Right.
And we would just try and get anyone who's the best players, the biggest name, anyone who's half decent. And that is exactly what
and you'd
doing.
Be playing.
I don't want
you're one of the best footballers I know.
Oh, God bless you.
So we're talking Marcelo, Cavani, big Pav in goal.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And big Pav gets talked about more than ever. Alan Shearer on this.
I don't even know who's in goal for Real Madrid these days. So,
did you see their social media was hacked as well, Real Madrid, and they busted out a message that Rodrigo was injured. I mean, of all the things to tweet.
Yeah. You know what that is? That's Jarvis Cocker at the Brits, isn't it?
Yeah,
where he gets up on stage for Earth Song.
Doesn't know what to do.
Now I've actually got through.
Yeah.
All right, get your arse out, Jarvis. That's what it ended up as, Andy.
So saying Rodrigo's got a thigh injury falsely is the equivalent of shaking your bum at a load of
gotta,
people.
I've got to have a plan. Get up there, right?
Exactly.
Zizou was sick at Lisbon because he ate too many custard tarts. Right. Something like that. It's really going to cut to the core of the club.
Right, Zedadini is a pie.
Yes. You
know, something like that.
Yeah.
Exactly. There we are, Real Madrid.
Try and sell some Bitcoin or something. Make some money out of it.
Sort yourselves out. Piss in hell. But they're in the quarterfinal.
Good on them.
They're in the quarterfinal. They know what they're doing there, Andy. A round of applause for those Real Madrids. Right, everybody, we're going to go for a quick break. Do not go away. It's only a podcast.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week at Sukarnov.
Over on My Seven Wonders with Clive Anderson, comedy legend Ian Stone is choosing what he'd put on his list of personal wonders of the world. Along the way, he tells a story of the first time he ever did stand-up, and it wasn't exactly by choice.
My friends, who unbelievably remained my friends after this, put me down secretly for the open mic spot. I mean, I went on. I didn't know what to say. I stood there. I'd never been on a stage before. Well, actually, I'd done a school play once, but I was playing... it was some biblical thing. I can't even remember, but...
Went into your I Am Joseph, Is There Room in Your Inn routine.
Give me my coloured coat. Yeah, that didn't work.
Meanwhile, these self-care club ladies are keen to figure out why so many women often find themselves saying sorry for just about anything.
I think that it is such a fine line between over-apologising unnecessarily and actually standing up and saying, I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry if you've been uncomfortable in any way that's been caused by me. And I think that's a sign of strength, isn't it? To be able to apologise for yourself, but not at the cost of your self-esteem.
All that and a whole lot more at Sukarnov.
Hi, I'm Jermaine Defoe, and this is the Football Ramble.
Damn right it is, Jermaine. Damn right. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've been asking you to get in touch with your alternatives to Pete's email jingle, which we now ruddy hate.
What's I mean, who started this? I don't listen when I'm not on. Who started this?
I
want names.
I am quite worried because knowing what you're like, we will have a 5-minute version of that song next time. he quadruples down, Andy.
You know he's actually employed Slash to do a guitar solo on the re-rub.
On top of a hill.
Do you know Slash? He can do a job at fullback in our team.
Good Stoke boy.
Flipping neck. Now, yes, indeed he is. Just like Ryan Shawcross. Now, we've got a great one. Some people have got in touch with their email jingles. Differing quality. I'll put it nicely, but Toby Elliott has absolutely captured the hearts and minds of the Football Ramble public. So, ladies and gentlemen, here is the email jingle for Toby Elliott. That was Jules Holland, by the way.
If you got a new nickname for Pete, or you're a big fan of Vish. If you want Jules to swear at you, or you think Jim's a dish. If you like Kate's pop culture references, or got a Sven story for Speller. If you disagree with Luke, or think that Andy's far too clever, email show at footballramble.com. Go ahead and email show at footballramble.com.
Come on.
Oh.
I'm in Pizza Express.
Oh, my goodness.
With a monarch.
Toby.
Listening to some jazz.
I tell you what, Toby Elliott, we are all now fully naked and Andy's sipping a cognac. That's what was happening here. Flipping Nora. The bar has been raised.
Indeed. We've got an email.
Oh, yeah.
We've got an email. But do keep your possible email jingles coming in. I'd like some shitter ones, quite frankly. Furious. Darren Walton's got in touch. I was saddened to hear your announcement of the death of Ian McNeil last week, but it stirred memories of happy days at Gay Meadow. Ian managed Shrewsbury Town from 1987 till 1990 and promptly went about filling our team with a ragtag bunch of Scottish hard men and heavy drinkers, along with the legendary Victor Kasule, also known as Vodka Vic and the King of Shrewsbury.
Love that.
In his time at Shrewsbury, Victor dislocated a toe doing a somersault after a 30-yard screamer against Leeds and had to be stretched off. missing two crucial games. That is spectacular. Smashing. Especially when it's a toe as well.
Smashing in a 30-yarder.
Yeah.
One of the finest moments of your career. Oh, I've got to be stretched.
Rolled and totaled John McGinley's car, going to a corner shop without asking John and without a driver's license. Got sent off for singing a George Benson song at a ref when Town were winning against Crystal Palace. The ref accused him of time-wasting. Vic said, chill out, and started singing George Benson at him. The ref promptly sent him off.
Chill out.
And he basically drank the town dry. A pub called the White Hart used to have Vic's crutches from the Leeds injury kept above the bar. He is reputedly the only man in history to have his career swayed and ended by the bright lights of Shrewsbury. He is our very own Robin Friday. The town fanzine was called A Large Scotch in tribute to Vic and his Scottish drinking buddies. Rest in peace, Mr. McNeil. You gave a generation of Shrews fans a lot to smile about. That's fantastic,
that is
isn't
class.
It?
Drinking the town dry. Amazing. Well, show@footballramble.com is the email address, everybody.
Indeed. And now it's time for this.
I prefer to kill him.
I prefer to kill him.
Oi, oi.
It's time for some portmanteau conte, guys.
What? Why just laughing? Remember the last time you played this game.
Why? What happened?
You were a disgrace.
I wasn't a disgrace. I was delivering what had been provided to me by people.
doesn't even write them himself anymore.
Shut up. I'm busy.
Turn into the Boris Johnson of the football ramble.
I'm excellent with the auto cue. Just keep them rolling.
Oh dear. Right.
Well, at least off, haven't I?
unlike Boris, unlike certain journalists, mm-hmm. I don't pass off other people's work as my own. So there we go. Right. Two footballers mashed together. Uh-huh. You know what to do, guys. Once you hear the Kevin De Bruyne little sound sample, your time's up, my friend. Yeah. Your time is up. We're going to go for... I'm a winger of Guadeloupean descent who failed to make much of an impact at Newcastle under Sir Alan Pardew after a slew of injuries. Sir Alex Ferguson claimed he was offered a £40,000 bribe to sell me to Everton before I moved there in 1995. Let's go.
This is tough.
I don't know the rules is anymore, honestly.
This is the first one. Lauren Robert, Andre Kanchelskis.
No, he was from the Reunion Islands.
Oh, was
remember?
He?
Yeah. Guadeloupean descent. A wonderful word to say incorrectly. The £40,000 bribe to sell him to Everton. Gabriel Obertandre Kanchelskis is the answer.
Obertan! Damn it all. I didn't
Would
think
you have got anywhere close? Well, talk me through your thinking or non-thinking in this case.
It was the Lauren Robert that I thought, who is right. that? And I remembered he was from an island rather than
So the second player had to be Bert someone.
Well, no, I knew it was Andre Kanchelskis, the second one.
Oh.
That's why the first one, I just was like, I forgot Obertan. Yeah,
yeah, the Guadeloupean bit threw me.
Yeah.
All right, then. Do you want a quick cheeky one?
Oh, yeah, go on.
Come on.
This is from listener Gavin McHugh, so blame him.
Go on, right. Gav.
Despite being born in Lancaster, I currently represent Scotland through parentage, and I appear in the film XXX, Return of Xander Cage, where I'm hit by a crashing space satellite.
I don't know the second one.
Oh, I'd know the second one. I wouldn't know the first one.
Go on, give us a... Ollie McBurney, the first one, maybe?
I don't know the rules anymore, honestly.
Any ideas?
Is it Ollie McBurney, the first one?
It's not. It's Scott McTominay Neymar.
Oh, Neymar. I
didn't know that about Neymar.
Fair there play, though. No, I like that, Gav.
Well done, Gav. So, that was...
Antonio Conte!
I prefer to kill him.
Oh, we failed there, Andy. But that was enjoyable. At least we had some proper ones.
I think we've had one winner.
Andy and I have had a couple before.
Yeah, okay.
You know.
Cool.
Don't want to forget that now, do we?
You certainly don't.
Certainly not. You've got to claim every victory, my goodness. Right, gentlemen, the aforementioned Che Adams is where we're going to turn our attention to now. A little bit of international football, if you like, ladies and gentlemen, before it actually kicks off. Another one who has betrayed England. He's joined the Scotland squad for the upcoming World Cup qualifiers. Yes, World Cup qualifiers, because we haven't had the Euros. I was a bit like, what? Oh, yeah, that's the calendar. Steve Clark, Scotland manager, said, I heard a whisper that he decided he wanted to come on board. Oh, a little wicked whisper.
Oh.
Che's whispering.
I love how he's kind of just luring people in.
Chinese whispers?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it, mate.
Can we have that?
Let's have it.
So he then had a couple of chats with him last week. Now, Andy, you were talking the other day on the Football Ramble, maybe even yesterday, how Yogi Löw sweet-talked or certainly chatted a lot to Musiala. And one or two others. Well, how do you think Steve Clark sweet-talked Che Adams?
Well, not in quite the same way, because, of course...
Give you a wee square sausage.
the subtext is industrial North Ayrshire lovemaking. That's what Marcus is.
North Ayrshire?
He's from North Ayrshire, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Like that.
With Yogi Löw, it's always in my mind that he turned up to the Allianz Arena where... The food in hospitality and actually even in the press area is so spectacular. Obviously, it won't be fully open at the moment, so it's an incorrect assumption. But I just have this feeling that you go, hello, Jamal. Come and sit with me. I'm going to take you for the best meal you've ever had in Preston. Well, actually, Mr. Löw, I can go in here and have the food anytime. Never mind that.
Are you going to touch the food?
have a second helping. This is what it'll be all the way if you choose Germany.
Two curry vests.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Well, yeah, I mean, Scotland, of course, they're at the Euros. So, you know, I think maybe Che Adams, because there was talk of this a couple of years ago, could he play for Scotland? And I think maybe a couple of years ago, show me something. Show me something. What are you going to entice me with? I'm not interested in qualifiers, I'm interested in tournaments.
Hey, they're unbeaten in seven, apart from the last two. That's how it works.
Why did you get rejected by Opta?
Because I came with stats like, Holly McBurney has lovely hair.
Well, yeah, so there we are. I mean, they could do with a bit of reinforcement up top, though, Scotland.
They've got no goals in their side. They need desperately.
Yeah. Well, Lyndon Dykes hasn't scored in 20 for QPR, and Ollie McBurney hasn't scored at all for Scotland.
Yeah.
So get Che in there. That volley.
Isn't that a case in both of those players, though? Form rather than quality? I mean, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if those all made a contribution for Scotland going forward.
Well, right? I think Scotland, though, the way they play, it's all about goals all over the pitch. That's what you want to do if you don't have an obvious goal scorer, of course. But Che Adams coming in. I mean, look at that volley, Andy, you know.
Yeah,
they'll be like
a lot of time to do
it. Give us something.
Yeah, a lot of time to hit that mark. I think I probably would have had a crack at that one.
If they can create chances where the striker has many, many seconds and a lot of space to shoot, then they should be okay.
I think they may be inspired by Jim on yesterday's ramble, going, "Why didn't England go for Erling Haaland? He was born here."
For a true Kasper Schmeichel as well.
Yeah. So now you've got to go big. You know.
You do. There's no way Erling
Haaland. There's no marginal gains.
Or Kasper Schmeichel are ever going to turn out for England, let's be honest.
Kane and Haaland up top. Fucking hell. Go home. Everyone else go home.
Yeah, piss off.
Well, Kasper Schmeichel's different because he was actually born in Denmark.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. But he's got the accent. He's got the English accent. And that's all I'm interested in. Can you do a good English accent?
If it was all about accents, you could choose from one of about 46 international countries to play for, couldn't you?
You certainly could, Andy. You certainly could. Of course, Zlatan Ibrahimovic has announced his return to the Swedish national team. That was yesterday, with a humble tweet saying, "The return of God."
Yeah,
you're fed up with this. You've been fed up with this for a few years now, haven't you?
I was fed up about 2 years in, really. It was it was charming for a while. No, it's everybody else's, not ours.
I mean, at this point, it's difficult to know whether he's just becoming a bit of an old man who doesn't quite grasp the nuances of modern humour, or whether he's just farmed it out to some sort of intern who's on work experience.
It's a bit like the Iron Sheik, the wrestler, the Iron Sheik is a popular kind of figure on Twitter, but I'm fairly certain it's his kid who does it.
Right.
And he's made the cult of this Iron Sheik, this kind of big, larger than life, calling everyone a C-word bloke on Twitter. Right. But I think it's just his kid doing it.
All right, that sounds rather appalling. But, in terms of...
He's the Iron Sheik.
Oh, right, okay, well, forgive me. I prefer the fake Sheik. At least he got Sven involved.
What happened to him?
Well, he was fake.
Yeah.
He's moved on to another character, isn't he?
The only diversity Fleet Street had.
But in terms of football, Andy, I mean, are you pleased to see Ibrahimovic come back into the Sweden fold?
I think because of the manner at which he's re-announced himself, because of the recent spats with LeBron and Lukaku.
Yeah. You're hoping he fails?
No. On the contrary, I would like him to have a nicer end to his career than the one that he's currently setting up for himself.
He's gone down the wrong road, isn't he?
Yeah, well, you look at that first year of being back at Milan, and on the whole, it's been an absolutely roaring success, incredible. Which is why he's been invited back. But when you saw him playing his last games for Sweden in Euro 2016, and, you know, that's a long time ago now, you looked at him and you thought, he's on the way out. Look at this poor shadow of a man who cannot contribute anything to his national team anymore. Mm. I would like him to have a better ending for Sweden, because for all the bravado and the playing character and all of that other stuff,
he's going to miss football, isn't he?
Yeah, and being big for Sweden is massive for him. Mm. He was so proud when he got his image on a stamp and all of that sort of stuff. If he can actually finish in a positive way for the national team, I think it would mean an enormous... I know it would mean an enormous amount to him.
Mm. Take that tongue out of your cheek and play some football.
Yeah, exactly. Let your football do the talking.
If not, just kung fu some bloke and okay. Get sent off.
Throw right. A big bicycle kick for 30 yards.
Let
Lovely.
Your footwork do the talking, because all that's covered in that. By the way, gentlemen, elsewhere in Scandinavia, have you heard about the art thief footballer? There was a story in The Athletic this week about one Pal Enger, a promising young midfielder who played in the Norwegian top flight in the 80s, who became one of the country's most famous art thieves. Incredible, really. His career was cut short when police... His art thief career was cut short when police discovered a famous Edvard Munch painting in his house, for which he served time in prison. But then in 1994, he stole The Scream. It's incredible.
There's about four of them, isn't there? There's like two on cardboard, I think. I don't know how it works.
And did he get the quadruple?
I don't know what he. I don't know how many he stole, but yeah, it's been stolen a couple of times. I've got this idea of conceptual artists. What I need from you is right. Mm-hmm. I think it's been stolen twice in its history. The Scream, and I'm not really sure which one has been. I know one that's got a bit of pencil written on it by Edvard Munch saying. This could only have been painted by a madman, which is very exciting. But I don't know which ones were stolen. But get the people who were in charge of the gallery at the time it was stolen and take two pictures of the same people going, oh no, my painting's been stolen. I'd really like to see that as a conceptual piece of art. Ah!
Yeah, he's sending out the wrong message, would you say?
I mean... They're there to be stolen, Marcus.
They're there to be stolen, Andy.
I'm simply wondering which popular emoji is next going to be turned into a meisterwerk.
That's good.
No, that one.
Yeah.
With
former sports people turning thieves, there's a story in Hungary where it was a guy who used to like rob banks and stuff, and he was called the whiskey. And the reason why he was called the whiskey was apparently his
stank of whiskey.
No, yeah, he's just to get tanked up. Right, what am I robbing today? No, he would have wherever he went on the rob. Mm. He would always make sure that before the job he would have a whiskey in a nearby bar or pub. That's what they realised this. But this is a few decades ago, of course, when sort of CCTV was a lot less and all that kind of stuff. And people would realise that was the trace. And he was in Hungarian. He was called Viskish is how they would say whiskey.
Nice.
And he was called the Viskish. And it turned out he was a former like hockey player or I forget which sport it was, something like that. But it became this sort of public, oh, the Viskish is struck. And the public then started supporting this guy, going, oh, he's a bit of a laugh. So
see, when you started saying that, I thought you were going to say the Vish.
Oh.
Because I can imagine Vish pulling off some sort of villainous plan.
No, he's far too honest. And
glass of viscous whiskey. Yeah, in his hand.
He would probably like say, look, if I've really upset you, here's my email address, here's my mailing address, here's my number. Like, I'm really sorry. You know, he's very honest. You know, the police turn around.
Have you seen him on Instagram? He's always drinking beautiful wine.
Is he?
Beautiful wine. So he probably knows his whiskey as well, I reckon.
Well, it's a big assumption.
It is.
But it's one we're going to make. It is one we're going to make, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to end today's podcast by talking about Portsmouth.
Yes, please. Yes, please. Hang on. Wait. I've got my little garage band up. Hang on.
Here we go.
Needs to be higher.
Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? Alan Pardew is being linked to the Portsmouth
job. Thank you. No jacket required. Hello, thank you. Yes, please.
All the times that Luke Moore...
All the fucking times. Luke Moore's going to fucking get it, isn't he?
first class from Bulgaria. Yeah, FedEx to Alan Pardew.
Express.
Take it, you slug!
take it. Oh, Peter, Luke was so harsh to you with about Pardew with the Newcastle job, and then he left, and so on and so forth. Well, there are reports also that Phil Parkinson is interested in the job. My goodness. Harry Redknapp has offered to take over in a caretaker capacity for free, although he said he can only do it once the Cheltenham races are finished.
That's the spirit.
How involved can you be at a horse race? You know what I mean? It's just like... Just, I never understand it.
Is that an ideal news story for you, Peter? Alan Pardew, if he goes to Portsmouth, that
would just... Look, I would install GarageBand on the train in.
Yeah.
on 3G.
I thought you would have wheeled one of your actual pianos.
One of my many
very
pianos.
Environmentally irresponsible, Pete. But I'm here for it.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Well, let's all hope that happens for everyone's sake, especially Luke's. Oh, I said we'd finish on that. We won't. We'll just quickly mention tonight Chelsea versus Atletico Madrid. Big one, Andy. Big bloody fixture, this. Sides who don't like to concede and they don't score that many. Although Atletico have been okay in the league this season in terms of scoring goals. How do you see this? Is it going to be 0-0?
Very possibly. Mm. But I think when you look at Atletico now, they're in much better nick than they were when they played the first leg against Chelsea. Even though the results may not suggest they're absolutely flying, they're playing a lot better. What they need to do in this game, they need to start like they started against Real Madrid, where they were excellent for the first hour. They went from them for the off. They need to not let Chelsea get set. And obviously that would make the game, because if Chelsea do get set, well, it's not going to be exciting, is it?
No, it isn't. It certainly isn't. There's been a lot of talk of Kai Havertz returning to the side, and he said this week that it's been really hard to settle and he's missing his family, which is understandable. It's something we forget about, the personal side of football. You know, sort of play fantasy football in your mind, if you see what I mean.
Well, especially at the moment. When you can't move between countries, it's really difficult.
Yeah. Well, also though, in that vein, Tuchel was in a sort of a, Tuchel in a good mood is sort of for everyone else is in a weird mood. If you see what I mean, he's an interesting chap, shall we say? But yesterday's presser, he was asked to comment on the reports of Timo Werner being unhappy at Chelsea, and he replied, "Stop reading. What do you read? Read a book."
I mean, it.
Yeah, is it anything else to say on that?
It's fairly sound advice.
Yeah.
You know, people should read more books.
Particularly your one, Andy.
Maybe.
Uh-huh. Or the Football Ramble one, of course.
Yeah. You still find it.
There's two books for you, ladies and gentlemen. Bit of homework if you haven't already done so. Before we leave you today, there is a Ramble Live Q&A tomorrow on the Patreon. Myself, Kate and Jim will be talking nonsense and fielding all of your questions. If you want to be involved, go over to patreon.com/footballramble. It promises to be a belter. Right, on tomorrow's show, Kate, Luke and Vish will be in your ears. Until then, enjoy the Champions League footballs and say goodbye, Andy Brassel.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete Donaldson.
All or Nothing, A Season in the Life of the Champions League by Andy Brassel.
Released I've got my dream.
6th of July, 2006. You can get it on Prime, £13.95. Get involved.
Absolutely.
I've had a Donny voiceover for my book.
All or Nothing.
Go get it now.
Were you the one who started that All or Nothing fad?
Yeah,
probably.
Sorry, I just feel a bit tense at the moment. I'm waiting for the invoice already.
I'm reassuringly expensive, Andy. It's fine.
Yeah. And it's goodbye from me.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Right, go on. Do it properly this time. Take it away.
One more.
Ah!
Come on, one more.
You're so close. Ah! Come on.
Ah! Piss.
Oh my God, I'm having a flashback to Roman doing White Rose of Athens.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health
right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.